You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we're going to play the second half of Rachel Ashby, BFM's very own Rachel Ashby, interviewed Megan Remy from US Girls, and we played part one of the interview yesterday. Here's part two.
One of our DJs from our station was lucky enough to catch your set at South By, which we've all been super jealous about. But she was blown away by it, and also the band. Was that's the Cosmic Range, is that correct? The band that you worked with?
Well, I was playing with the Cosmic Range as the backing band on the album, and then when we started doing shows last fall, kind of gearing up for the album to come out, they were the backing band. By the time this touring came around, people's schedules did not fit, so there's only one Cosmic Ranger in the group left.
Right.
So I've filled it with other people that played on the record, because it wasn't just Cosmic Range on the record, there was a lot of people on there. And then I've met some kind of new gems that have kind of come into the fold. So the band is, right now, is kind of a mismatch of people I've kind of collected over the years, and it will continue changing. I mean, trying to do an 8-piece band means you're dealing with 8 people's schedules.
Yeah.
So I'm at the mercy of a lot of people's schedules, so I'm kind of fitting people in and out as their schedules allow. So it's which is great, because the band is never going to get stale.
Yeah. Keeps evolving.
So it's fun. It will stay fun for us.
Mm.
So, and also fun for people. You know, if someone saw us once, they'll hope, you know, if they come back, they're going to see a new band.
That's such such a good way to be able to keep energy in a project as well, especially if you're touring for a long time and taking it to lots of different places. Yeah.
It can get really stuck, and I've seen it with bands. You know, I've seen if you see a band twice in 1 year, see them at the start of a tour cycle and you see them at the end, it really shows.
Yeah.
And that's a big goal of mine, is to not get to that point where I'm bored or I'm phoning it in, because I can't take people's money if I'm not even believing it, you know?
Well, we've spoken a bit about the importance of women and, you know, minorities talking to each other and collaborating together, and we've talked as well about musicians collaborating together. So the intersection of those two things, what is the specific importance, do you think, for women as musicians to be collaborating?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it is like needs to be some big thing. It should just be happening. Why would you not do it? But I think why it's not maybe common in music is because women are we all think we're fighting for the same spot. So it's like, oh, I can't help her because I'm trying to get into this spot. You know, and it's like, there can only be one blonde one, and there can only be one fat one, and there can only be one whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
there's
only so many spots, and we're all trying to get in one, when it's like, we should be saying, screw those spots, there's room for all of us, we're going to make the room happen, and I'm going to help you with your stuff, and you're going to help me with mine, and we're going to do whatever means necessary, we're going to complete our projects.
Yeah, totally.
And this is us. And I just find, I don't know, you know, some people, I love playing bills that are all women. You know, if I'm on a show and it's all women, I'm like, this is great, because it's so rare. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people call that like ghettoizing or something. And I don't agree with that. I just think it's been the other way for so long that I wanted to swing wildly the other way for a little bit to kind of even it out or something.
And you need to have
both,
don't you?
Yeah.
You got to have the I mean, for want of a better term, the ghettoizing or the prioritization of a woman's space, plus that bringing that into a more, you know, male-dominated space as well. But you've got to be able to have spaces where women's music and trans music and gender minority music is encouraged and fostered in a safe environment, so that when you take it back out into the big, scary patriarchal of everything, you've got all the best tools and all the best, you know, musical weapons to your ability, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about is, I always really enjoy your music videos. I think that they're really playful, and they're also really powerful as well. And how do the process of, I know it varies video to video, but how does the process of coming up with a visual to go with the story of a song work for you? Do you have much input into that, or is it sort of a bigger mix of people coming in to work on that?
Well, I mean, the same as the music, you have a lot of collaborators with the videos, but each video so far for this album, I've had a huge part in. The one I've had the least amount in was Pearly Gates, but that was me kind of saying what I wanted out of the video and then giving it to someone to do, because I knew I trusted them. I knew that the aesthetic was theirs. I knew they were going to nail it, so they would take my notes and make it something better than I could. Other videos like Mad as Hell, that's my friend Emily Pelstringen and I. And we edited it together. We storyboarded it together. We did every part of the way together. Velvet for Sale, same thing. Alex Kingsmill, Velvet for Sale and Rosebud. Alex and I did those together, directed them together. He does the more technical shooting stuff. I edit them, so I edited both of those videos myself.
Oh, cool.
So always the original idea is coming from me. A lot of times when I'm writing the lyrics to the song, I'm already thinking of a visual for them. Sometimes the video's not ever made, but I'm still thinking in that way because I enjoy working in other mediums. You know, film and video, I love as much as music. So, and they're not really separate from me.
No.
So my brain is always working on a critical creative level. You know, it's always these creative problems that need to be solved or these creative holes I want to fill to make a big, you know, a complete picture. So I'm very involved with the videos. Maybe too involved. I hardly have time for anything else in my life than being creative, it seems like. But this is where I get my meaning from. So it's very, I really enjoy being really busy and doing these things. So
I think it pays off really well. It feels fantastic to step into this album and be able to be immersed by it, especially as a woman. It feels cathartic. I love it. Yeah.
The last thing
I wanted to ask you was, hope is something that I also was struck by in this album. It's really angry and it's very forceful, but there is just this sort of nagging sense of hope that this isn't all doom and gloom necessarily. Would that be something that you say is true? Is there a sense of hope in your politics behind this album?
Oh, I think that any hope I have is just that we all will die. And that's 100% certain.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the great leveler. And I think that I have much hope in nature, because nature will exist without us and will continue doing its thing. And it's much larger than us. And that we're, you know, everything feels very heavy right now and the damage is so great. And the world feels like it's on fire, you know, but we are a blip in time. We are a blip in space. It's all actually okay. Because it's nothing. It's everything and it's nothing. And I find hope from that.
It's a beautiful paradox of life, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, well, I think that's just about all the time that I have with you, but thank you so much for chatting to me today. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you.
To
have
you.
A good day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a great interview by Rachel Ashby talking to US Girls Megan Remy about her new album, In a Poem Unlimited.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.